GOB75, Clearfell. Regular readers will know how genuine my affection is for undisciplined dog walkers. They will also know how I believe that our over-romanticised idea of the countryside, coupled with the idea that nature should be tamed, is leading to habitat loss and eviction of wildlife. Capability Brown looked at the farm fields and forests of aristocratic estates and, in the words of the film industry, reimagined them. Not content with nature or agricultural patterns, he, and subsequently we, wanted an idealised picaresque landscape. Like an artist ignoring a tree if it spoils their composition, Mr. Brown removed anything that interfered with his idea of how nature should be, and added in anything that nature had forgotten. And so, dear readers, the concept of the park was born. It was not, of course, meant for the hoi polloi. The high-born and high-handed demolished villages turfed their toilers from their tenant farms and ripped up trees in the wrong places to add them in the right places. Dry valleys were dammed and streams rerouted for their own viewing pleasure and a show-off to other high-born environmental hooligans. This was good news for roe deer, game birds and fountain makers. It was not so good for nature. Unfortunately, we've retained this ideal ever since. Upper-middle-class Victorian ladies sublimated their passions by creating more natural borders and turned their cottage garden from a veg patch to a profusion of delightful colours made possible by introducing plants from around the world. Colour caught on, and the Himalayas were plundered for rhododendrons, which now form vast wildlife-free swathes across Albion's hillsides. When the stench of horse manure and inadequate sewers offended the noses of city-dwelling nouveau riche, green lungs were created. Those who need not toil could promenade these city parks, knowing that hemlines need not be raised to avoid the ordure, nor their peace shattered by working men and women. For their viewing pleasure, flower beds were created and shade afforded by exotic foliage. If you've not nodded off, you may be wondering where all this is going. Well, it's going down the high road to my local park. When I moved here, the park was a well-known autumn hotspot for firecrests and yellow-browed warblers, Pallas's warblers and even collared flycatcher. For 3 years running, I found firecrests in the same bush on the same day of the year. Being one of the few areas of trees and shrubs in an almost island, it was a natural migrant magnet. An almost hidden garden was surrounded by a fence covered in ivy. The playing fields were surrounded by shrubby borders and copses of trees, through which winter flocks fiddled in the foliage with maybe an overwintering chiff-chaff and a blackcap or two. A fenced and wardened-off safe garden had been created so that kids could enjoy the fresh air without constant parental attention and oversight, while I and other town-bound nature appreciators could see redstarts and flycatchers on their way to Africa or redwings and field fairs avoiding the frigid north. Admittedly, every now and again a person walked by holding their dog's lead and interrupt our tranquil birding. But then Capabilities Brown's descendants decided that the hidden garden should be viewable from the path that no one uses, and the ivy was stripped from its perimeter. Offended by cow parsley and elderberries, ground ivy and dogwood, every nook and cranny was cleared of ground cover. Nothing is now allowed to live under the trees except clipped grass. So now the off-lead dogs can run through every sheltered corner, and the passing motorists have unobstructed views of stark trunks and bare fences. Thanks, Mr. Parkkeeper, for tidying up the rampant weeds and unnecessary understory so favoured by skulking warblers and raking up all the leaf litter that the winter thrushes love to scratch through.